say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do, you say I belong to you. I'm in awe of why you do, why you do, why you do. I'm in awe of you.
This is Corey from Bible Baptist Church in West Union, Ohio. You're listening to Here's Hope with Pastor Tim Carter. Let's listen to the message.
Well, we're going to begin in verse number 28, Matthew chapter 8, verse number 28. This is an amazing story to me. I am absolutely amazed, not just by Jesus Christ and his ability to heal, but in fact, the response that people have sometimes to Christ. I mean, if somebody showed up in our town and they really did have the power to, if God showed up in our town in a human body and he could cast out like 2,000 demons or devils, as the scripture calls them, out of a person, I'm thinking that's somebody we want to stick around town for a while, wouldn't you? I mean, and so it's amazing to me in the story of the two guys that were possessed in Gadara, that after this great miracle that was done, I just am still amazed that people would want Jesus to get out of town. But it's probably a reflection of a truth that we need to get a hold of personally ourselves, that why, when there's someone that can do such great things, wouldn't you want to have him around? I have a quote underneath my desk, top. Often those closest to the means are furthest from the ends. Often those that are closest to the means are furthest from the ends. And you know, sometimes it's amazing that young people that grow up in our churches are sometimes the furthest people from getting saved. When they're the ones that are around it all the time, they've heard it, heard it, heard it, heard it, heard it. And so just because you're close and you hear it, hear it, hear it, in fact, the story of God's Word can become so familiar to us that it loses something. The greatest story ever told about the greatest man, the God-man, Jesus Christ, that ever lived, and how in the world we can grow up in churches and it can be the most boring, uninteresting story when it is the greatest of all. Study is worth your time. I compare the Gospels to four men explaining what a house looks like from four different angles. You have one guy standing in the front yard. You have one guy standing on the right side, one guy standing on the left side, and one guy standing in the back. It really is the best way to get the full and as complete a story as possible, God using men like he did. When you get four angles, sometimes one guy will tell a story. Most of the time, two or three will tell a story. Sometimes all four of them will tell the full story. And so sometimes when you're looking at the front of the house, you know, you don't see the air conditioner sitting on the back side or the back deck or whatever. But the guy that's in the back, he doesn't exactly see it like the guy in the front does. And the guys from the sides, you know, they're seeing a little bit of both, but they're not getting the full view. And so when you think about the Gospels, four men telling the same story about Jesus Christ from a different angle. And so when you have the advantage of three men telling the same story, what you're going to find is that if you're not just lazy in the Word of God, but if you put some effort into it, probably one is going to give some further information that's going to clarify something. Verse number 28. And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils. Now we're going to read the story in the book of Mark here in a minute, but Mark only focuses in on one. Matthew speaks about two that were possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, he writes, so that no man might pass by that way. Get the picture? Two men, both possessed, both so fierce that you couldn't even pass by this graveyard, if you would say, that they would come out of. Verse 29, "And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God?" Now these men, miraculously, even though they had never met Jesus apparently before, they knew who he was because they were possessed by demons or devils. So much so, and this is the amazing thing, because in our minds we're trying to wrap our minds around how a person could be possessed by one evil spirit. We maybe can grasp that. But how in the world these two guys, and even as Mark focuses in on one, could be possessed by so many devils that they would be defined as legion. In fact, when Jesus is going to send these demons or devils out of this man, or in this case, these two men, speaking about them, there's going to be so many of them inside of these guys that around 2,000 hogs are going to run crazily down a hill and into the sea to drown. And we think so much about time and space, it's hard to really get a grasp on how in the world, even if you said each one had 1,000 or one of them had about 2,000, how could 2,000 spirits? No wonder these guys were out of their minds. Being possessed by one demon would have to be bad enough, but to be possessed by legion, can you imagine the torment that these guys, specifically in Mark chapter 5 here in just a minute, what these guys had to go through? The confusion and the anger and the bitterness. And these guys were in a miserable, miserable state. But because they were possessed by devils, they also knew who Jesus was. They knew he was not just a Son of God, they knew he was the Son of God. And they said, "What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" Now the time is that all these demons have a time and a day where they know they're going to get judged and where they know what's going to happen to them for all eternity. Their concern is, because they're not all-knowing like God is, and they don't have the knowledge we have, being some now 2,000 years future from where they were, there, when they see Jesus, the Son of God, their immediate impression is he's come, and he is going to send us to torment before the appointed time. That's their concern, verse number 30. "And there was a good way off from them, and herd of many swine feeding." Verse number 31. "So the devils besought him," or Jesus, "saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine." Which I guess this probably would answer the question of, is it possible for a demon to be in an animal? Well, yeah. And we don't even have to wonder that, because that's what's going to happen. Verse 30, they said, "There's a herd, let us go into them." That we see the picture that a demon or a devil would rather be inside the body of a hog than to be outside of a body, a spirit outside of a body. What can they do? These demons, they work through people. In this case, they want to be in some hogs rather than being just cast out and not being in or possessing, in a sense, something. Verse 32. "And he said unto them," this very simple word, Mark does not record this, but he says, "Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters, and they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus." You would think this is going to be a joyous event. The two crazy guys, crazy because they were possessed, tormented the town. So much so that you couldn't even go by that area where the tombs were because they were so violently fierce that people were scared to death and were in danger. And you would think that when those guys who were, in a sense, the scourge of the city or the town were put in their right mind and had been set free from this, that there would be a party in town, wouldn't you think? But not at all. They come out of town, verse number 34, the whole city, Matthew tells us, came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, or Jesus, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast, of all things. Why would they do that? Now look at the book of Mark, chapter number 5, for just a few minutes. Chapter 5, verse number 1, we pick up the story in the book of Mark. Same story. Mark chooses to focus in on one of the guys instead of both, as Matthew speaks about. But Mark is going to give more specific details, focusing in on this one guy. And so we gain information here. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that when he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. That's pretty wild. Pretty wild, very strong, so much so that no man could bind him, not even with chains. He comes, specifically this one comes, directly to meet Jesus as he's coming out. Verse 5, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. It appears in this story at the first part of chapter 5, it says he had an unclean spirit, singular, but we find that this unclean spirit was in fact legion, or many, and there was many of them. Verse number 10, and he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Why would that spirit want to stay in the country? Well, the truth is, this apparently was pretty good ground or territory for these spirits to be able to operate. Why would we say that? Well, because we see what takes place in the book of Matthew. Let's just begin to put some pieces together. And as I began to study this text in more detail than I ever have studied it before, I began to read and to learn some things that I hadn't really thought about from that angle before. Here are these two men possessed, this one man even in particular focused on, possessed with multiple demons. They want not to be sent out of the country. Why? See, there was something going on there in the area of Gadara. Something very interesting. And what I mean by that is this. We see a little bit about the nature of a demon or a devil, that when they realize that they're going to be dispossessed or moved out of the soul, if you would say, or the person, the man that they had been in, not only just that they would rather be in hogs, but the response that they would produce when they went inside those hogs. Now you say, well, what are you even talking about? Well, see, the devil's pretty slick, and I hadn't thought about this before until I began to really do some reading and studying what some of these great old preachers of the past said about this text, and they brought up something that I had never even thought of. And they talked about this issue. You know, here's God, here's the all-knowing, all-powerful God. Why didn't Jesus just say, you know, no, I'm not going to let you go into those swine. You're just out. Now, is there another story where Jesus ever allowed these unclean spirits that were in a person, that when they were kicked out by Jesus or told to go out, and they did, that they ever went into animals or another person that we know of immediately. I mean, they were they were kicked out. So why in this case did they want to go into those hogs? Good question, isn't it? See, because a devil, this is how wicked a devil is that if they can't mess your life up, in a sense, from the inside, they're so wicked that if they could just get in these hogs. Now, what about these hogs? The thought is that most of the people that lived in this area of Gadara were Jews, which makes a person wonder, what in the world are a bunch of Jews doing with a bunch of hogs? Doesn't it? Seeing how they're forbidden from eating a bunch of hog meat. And so the thought from one of the commentators is this. They're either eating these hogs or they're making a good profit off of these hogs, because about 2,000 hogs, that's a lot of hogs. What we do know for sure is that this transaction is going to hit these guys in their pocketbook, and it's going to hit them deep in the pocketbook. And if some of these Jews from that area were sneaking and eating a little bacon on the side and violating the word of God, then wouldn't God have known when he told those devils to go out? Wouldn't Jesus have known they're going to go in that herd of swine and they're going to run crazily down over the hill? And wouldn't Jesus have known that this is going to be not only a small hit, but a big hit in the economy or the finances of that particular city? Messing with food supply, messing with money. Now, you want to find out what people are like. You start messing with food supply, even if that wasn't an issue, you start messing around in people's pocketbooks, and you're going to find out where people's hearts are in a hurry, are you not? And so Jesus has to know, he's casting these devils out. They're going to go in those hogs. He gives them permission to go in those hogs. He knows they're going to run crazily down the hill. They're going to jump off into the sea, and somebody or somebodies are going to lose a whole bunch of money. And Jesus is going to allow this to happen, now listen, on purpose. So these demons are going to be from a human into hogs, and within a very short period of time, they're going to be out. So ultimately, that's going to get accomplished anyway, that they're not going to be possessing anybody or anything in a very short period of time. But the test here, see the test. I didn't ever understood that before. See the test. And it's no wonder these demons didn't want to go to a different country, because they've had good territory to work in, not just the two guys in the tombs, but this area of people that are more concerned about their pocketbook than they're concerned about Jesus Christ, and who would rather have two demon-possessed, crazy guys that obviously on multiple occasions they tried to bind up and couldn't, running around the neighborhood, people couldn't go past the tombs, and they would rather have those guys possessed and 2,000 hogs than Jesus Christ. If I was a demon, that's where I'd want to operate too, in a place like that, wouldn't you? And so in Mark chapter number 5, we begin to get even more information. Verse 9, he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and there were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him. They told him what had happened, that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he, the guy that now was in his right mind, no longer possessed, he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. Amen. I can't help but wonder for me. And I'm just trying to make personal application with me, and then you can make whatever personal application you want. And I understand that I'm saved and I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me, and I know that a devil can't take up residence where Jesus Christ is, and I understand that, and hopefully you understand that too. But I can't help but wonder that when Jesus wants to do a work in my life and in our neighborhood or in our city or in our county, and Jesus begins to do a work, and he begins to work in people's lives, and people see the change, I can't help but wonder, in our city, West Union, would West Union rather have not hogs? Would West Union rather have its meth than Jesus? Would West Union rather have heroin addiction than Jesus Christ? If Jesus came to our town and began to do great works, would our town be more concerned about their pocketbooks? And Jesus Christ is doing a work in our town. Would we send Jesus Christ away? I mean, if he really hit in our pocketbooks and really living for Jesus Christ meant it was going to cost our town something, if it was going to cost us 2,000 hogs. Is a little bit of Jesus enough for us around here, or would we want the whole thing? I think I know what the answer would be inside of our walls. But you know, the interesting thing about this dilemma is that we find out a whole lot about what's going on in the hearts of the people of Gadara when Jesus hits them in their pocketbook. And he messes with their livelihood. And he messes probably with some of their food source that they shouldn't have been eating anywho. And we find out what's in their heart. And one of our guys told me recently, made a decision. Listen, he made a great decision. He turned down a promotion at work because he wants to be able to serve God fully. And you know why I say good? I was tested on this issue years ago, right at the crucial point in my life where I'm either really going to buckle down and go into full-time ministry, you know, or be prepared to go into full-time ministry, or what I'm going to do. And right about that time, I had a potential job opportunity, then about 20 years ago now, that I could get $10,000 more a year over what I was getting, plus a company car, so it probably would have netted out about $15,000 raise. But I would have had to have been gone on Wednesday nights and miss a Sunday every few months. Now, I got to tell you, our family, we could really have used that $15,000. That was a lot of money back then. But the test was, am I more concerned about pleasing God? And so, this is a test, isn't it? And would West Union tell Jesus to get out of town? Now, here's it. I close with this. If you don't want Jesus, he's not going to make you. And when the people and when the whole city comes out and they're afraid. What does this mean? What does it mean about our money? What other changes are going to be made if Jesus stays here? What other losses are we going to have? Or, excuse me, two guys healed from being possessed. And if they were thinking at all, they would have said, if he can do that, come to town. Because I got a cousin that's sick, and we got some other people that we know that are having some real physical problems. And if you can do that kind of stuff, won't you come in here and heal all of us? And they should have lined them up for Jesus Christ, and he would have brought salvation into their town. But when it came down to their wallet, and they turned him away, they missed salvation also. And that was the worst decision the Gadarenes ever made. When Jesus Christ was on their doorstep in their area, and they sent him away. I wonder if those demons came back to town. I'd say they probably did.
You've been listening to Here's Hope, a ministry of Bible Baptist Church. Check us out online at hereshope.org. You can contact us by writing to Bible Baptist Church, P.O. Box 487, West Union, Ohio 45693, or by calling us at 937-544-1818. If you don't already attend another church, we'd love for you to give us a try. Thanks for listening, and we hope you have a great week.
You say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do, you say I belong to you. Things I do, you say I belong to you. I'm in awe. Why you do, you say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do, you say I belong to you.
Again, but he won't be